I'm speaking today with Mills Worsham, who is running for Houston City Council in District G this November. Mills, first question I like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, Charles, I'm running to be a district representative representing my district. And what I mean by that is to be an advocate for the district. And when you run a district office, I like to say you're more like a glorified customer service rep than you are anything else. You're there to respond to the needs of the citizens of the district. You're going to get calls all day long about this and that that needs improvement or working on. And you're going to need to be able to go to the homeowner association meetings, make yourself known in the district, and just generally to be an advocate for your residents.
Now, you are currently a trustee for the Houston Community College System. Tell me a little about it, a little bit about your experience with that and how you think that experience would help you as a city council member.
My experience has been great. I've been here for 3 years now. I'm representing District 6 on the west side, which is largely a lot of the makeup of District G. So basically the same constituency that I am representing now would continue to represent with District G. I took the place of my predecessor, Jim Murphy, who was elected to the state legislature, and have held a position. As I said, I was initially appointed when he left and then ran unopposed for re-election in November of that year, 07. And, what I like to say is that we have a 9-member board. We're elected from single-member districts. But I always like to say, comparing it to the makeup of the city council, they also have the people elected from the single-member districts, but they also have the 5 at-large members. We have to be advocates for our district, but we also have to look out for the welfare of the system at large as well, because we don't have at-large representatives. It's a very large CIP. It's not as large as the city by any amount of means, but I'm well acquainted with the process of what goes into the development and the execution of a capital improvement plan of some magnitude. And I'm very proud to say that last year I led the successful effort to lower our tax rate for HCC, which is something I'll be looking to do repeat at the city level. And so I think it's given me a good chance to already be at work representing the people of the district, so that I know that I can represent them equally as well down at City Hall.
We're talking about the tax levels. This year in the budget was the first year that there wasn't a reduction, however modest, in the property tax rate for Houston homeowners. Obviously, we're also coming up against revenue shortages, as sales tax revenues and property tax revenues are down in this economy. That's led to the budget that was just passed having some cuts in it. How do you reconcile the demand for services? We just saw in the Chronicle that the Houston Police Department has had its budget share increased by about 40%, but it's all going to things like pensions and salaries and not more officers. How do you reconcile that with the desire for a lower tax rate?
I think that we've got to get back to the basics in the city of funding our most basic necessities like police and fire and infrastructure. I've got to put that in there. And I think that we need to quit diverting the funds to these things, such as the pension obligations. I know that we have a serious problem that we're going to face here in the city with these pension obligations, and that we have been issuing these bonds to cover the revenue shortfalls, budget shortfalls. I'm in favor, and I'm challenging everybody who is running for a council position, as well as the mayoral candidates and controller candidates, to say, let's have an election. Let's let the city, let's let the voters of the city decide about these pension bonds. I was in favor of, you may remember, a proposal that actually passed a few years ago, Proposition 2, which required a vote of the citizens if they were going to raise taxes beyond a certain formula that was pre-agreed upon. And the mayor, the current mayor, has fought that to date, legally held that up. It should already be, in my opinion, in place and already there. And I think any time that you have a problem of this magnitude that you're directing city funds to, I really believe voters should have a say in that.
Okay. What's your critique of the budget that council recently passed, and looking forward on the assumption that the next fiscal year is going to continue to be tight like this one has been, you know, what approach should be taken by council?
Well, first of all, for a long time, I've been an advocate of privatization. More privatization, the more the better, as far as I'm concerned. I've heard a fellow say years ago, when we actually used to have Yellow Pages, that it, take the old Yellow Page test. If it's in this book, the city shouldn't be involved in it. And I think we've had some areas where we've actually made some progress, waste management being one, where we have had private industry come in and take over services that were heretofore provided by the city. I think when looking at a budget, you've got to take a budget and you've got to fund your most basic priorities. For me, that's public safety, funding the police department and the fire department to the best of that they are able to handle what they need to handle throughout the city, and infrastructure. I think that this last administration has not paid the proper attention to the city's infrastructure, our roadways, our water lines, our sewer lines. And we've got to look at a way to once and for all address this drainage problem that's not going to go away on its own. And whereas I am an advocate for development, I'm a pro-development person, the more land we develop, the more land that we take away from saturation and drainage, so we've got to come up with a way to adequately assess those drainage problems that we saw here again at the end of April just a few months ago. And I think that the way that they're working with those fees right now, I don't think it's actually working to the fullest extent that it can.
Which fees are you referring to?
There's a fee now, a drainage fee that is being paid into, but it's being diverted again to other things. It's not adequately being directed towards finding a way to solve the drainage problem. And there's been some talk about some sort of a dedicated fund for infrastructure, which I would be in favor of. I think that you know, as I said, public safety is number one, because we've got to be safe in our homes, our workplaces, and traveling about the city. And so we've got to make sure that we fund the police department and the fire department. We've also got to be able to have ways to easily move around the city. Got to have roadways, and we've also got to have the water lines, the sewer lines that drain properly, so that we don't have these massive problems that prohibit our getting around the city.
You mentioned shortfalls in infrastructure. I mean, you've spoken at length now about drainage. Where else do you think there's been a shortfall in infrastructure over the past few years?
Well, I think there are a lot of the roadways around town that are falling under disrepair, and I realize there's only a certain amount of work that can be done at one point in time.
What would you say are your priorities then?
My priorities would be on the west side. A lot of the main thoroughfares like Westheimer, Briar Forest, there's work currently being done on Briar Forest out in the area of just past Willcrest and towards Kirkwood. I think that we need to adequately... One thing I will say that has worked out very well is the I-10 project. And obviously now that we have traffic flowing very smoothly on I-10, it's taken a lot of pressure off of those other east-west thoroughfares. But I think we need to continue to maintain those and to improve those so that people can get through from one end of the city to the other. A lot of times you still have stack-ups on the freeways, and you've got to divert yourself off to another course to be able to make it from one side of the city to another, make an appointment or something of that nature. And I think that we've got to pay more attention to these auxiliary east-west or north-south routes through town.
Well, related to transit, then, as you know, Metro has recently broken ground on two more of the light rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum. There's still two more to be done. All this work is scheduled to be done in 2012, maybe 2013. If you were elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws till 2015. So where do you want to, looking forward, where do you want to see Metro go when they're done with the current light rail expansion? What would you like to see them do beyond that?
Right now, I'd like to see Metro concentrate on what I think is its bread and butter, the bus system. I'd like to see Metro make the bus system the best it can do before we venture out in these other projects. I was never, and am still not, a light rail proponent. I think the Main Street line has basically just, if you look at what's happened along Main Street, most of the buildings are occupied now by businesses for lease. Most of the actual retail businesses have gone out of business because the congestion with the light rail going down Main Street has not worked out as it was presented. In my area, the proposed route that would take the rail down Post Oak troubles me a lot because you've got some of the most valuable retail spaces in the state on either side of Post Oak. And I'm afraid that if you put that rail line right through Post Oak, right now traffic studies say that it moves at about a 2 or 3, and that would take it all the way to a 5 in most cases, which is ultimate gridlock. What I would like to see is more, I think there is a place in the city's future for commuter rail, high-speed rail. I do like that idea. I never was a proponent of the light rail system that's being currently used. And furthermore, when you look at District G, the west side of town, in which I am serving, I don't think that this current plan does anything for the citizens that live in that area.
Okay. Turning back to police, what should city council be doing to address the needs of the Houston Police Department and concerns about crime?
I think there's several things that we can do. First of all, I would like to see us. One thing I love about Houston, and I'm a native Houstonian, lived in this district for probably my entire life, and I love the way that we have opened our arms to help people that are in need. And we did that, of course, a few years ago when Hurricane Katrina struck over in New Orleans. And a lot of those people have come to make their homes over in the west side just outside the Beltway. Unfortunately, some of those people have not been great contributors to society, let's say. And there's been an upsurge in the crime problem since the migration of those people. And if you trace it to about 4 apartment complexes that are over kind of in the Briar Forest, Willcrest, and towards like where the Lakeside Country Club is area. And there was a recent proposal. I'm involved in a super neighborhood that's being created there. And there's a recent proposal for the city housing department to put more money into fixing those up to where there wouldn't have been any great change in the clientele or the inhabitants, but they would have just made a nicer place for them to live. And now, with the support of our current council member, I don't believe that that is going to go forward, and this is something that the area neighborhood, super neighborhood residents wanted, to have those demolished so that we can move those people out of there. And may or may not, depending upon what happens with the economy, be a place where higher-end developers could come in and make nicer, newer condominiums or apartments that people could move into. But I think just getting rid of those places where a lot of those people have come and congregated, and unfortunately we've seen the crime statistics rise. I'm also a proponent of neighborhood policing and equipping people in the local areas with tools to help the police do their job. I've been told, and I want to pursue the idea through HPD of getting grants where you can actually put cameras atop stop signs in neighborhoods that hook into computers. Guy can be home, the local neighborhood watch manager, and he can monitor these cameras and see surveillance of the neighborhood and see if there's anything out of place or out of the ordinary that's going on. I also want to compliment the West Chase District and some other people out on the west side that have put these surveillance cameras in place, particularly over where the Carillion Center is off of Westheimer, where these cameras have been there to monitor all the activity that goes on in that place, and they've seen the crime go down in those areas. It's not in any way, in my mind, an intrusion of anybody's privacy. It's just a way to canvas the area and make sure that nothing out of the ordinary is going on.
City Council is considering some revisions to Chapter 42 of the Development Code. This governs what's considered urban or suburban, covers things like setbacks, and is geared also towards transit corridors. What is your opinion on the revisions that they are currently considering?
Yeah, I have to say, first of all, that I'm one of the people who believes that Houston is one of the cities that's gotten along just fine without zoning regulations, and I'm proud of that. I'm not saying that that's something that other cities can't do or don't do effectively. I just think for Houston, it's worked out well. I like the way that our city is structured right now, and I want to be very careful about the changes that we make in those areas. Now, I'm open to looking at those and studying those and seeing if we could actually improve the way that we do our planning, but I'm very hesitant to do any substantial upheaval of the way that we've done business here in Houston.
Council has also recently passed an ordinance that would add new restrictions to business signage. What's your take on that?
In my mind, I think that's a terrible mistake. I'm a big private property rights advocate, and I think that people who have opened their businesses on major thoroughfares because of that location being attractive to people driving by and being able to put a sign there and advertise their business on their own property. To me, as long as those signs are not in any way in bad taste or anything of that nature, as long as they're just there to advertise that business, I really don't see why the city thinks it has a place in coming through and dictating to those people what they do on their own property.
Okay. Give me your assessment of the current council member in District G, Pam Holm, and how you think you would be like her or not like her if you were elected.
I have a good relationship with Pam personally. We were both candidates in the race in 2003, in which she ultimately was the victor. And I have worked with her on various projects through the years that she's been on council, probably the most recent one being the Rivercrest, the mayor's closure of the two Rivercrest streets, which as a resident of Briargrove Park, the adjoining neighborhood, I saw that result in all the traffic being routed through one street that goes through our neighborhood. Pam tried as best she could to give us support on that issue. It was a decision made unilaterally by the mayor and circumvented council action, which has since spurred the state legislature to take action to make sure that that particular problem will never happen again. I think that Pam has been an advocate for the issues that are important to her on the council. I want to be an advocate for the area myself, and I want to make sure that I am the people's voice. You know, a lot of people say, why do you want to run to be a district council member in a city like Houston, where the mayor is strong mayor, form of government, the mayor sets the agenda, all those sort of things? Well, it's because I want to be a voice for my area. I want to be the conduit to the council, to the mayor, to say, yeah, this is good for my area, or no, this is not good for my area. And I will always listen to the constituents. I will give them a voice on the council. And when I think things are not good for the area, I'm going to let everybody, including the mayor, know about it, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep it from happening. When I think things are good for the area, I'm going to encourage all my council members to help me get it through, and the mayor as well. So, I think that Pam has done that, and I've tried to help in my role as a citizen, and now I want to go down there and help be the advocate for my district at City Hall.
One of the things that will happen in the next couple of years into 2011 would be that City Council would add two more districts and would undergo a redistricting of current council boundaries. How would you like to see that process go, and what changes, if any, do you want to see or not want to see happen to District G?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that District G is going to be one of those areas that's going to be affected by the redistricting. I just believe that as large and as expansive as the district is, that's going to be one of the areas you're going to see carved into. Now, how they go about doing that, I don't know, and I don't particularly have an opinion on that one way or the other. I just want to make sure that and statutorily, they'll be required to do any redistricting to balance out the voices of the constituents of those areas. And I think that what you may wind up seeing conceivably is the district cut in half and a new district made out of that. But I really haven't paid much attention to how it will be redistricted. I just know that this election that we're going through right now is going to be the last, in my mind, election for District G as it's currently configured.
We're going to be electing a new mayor this fall, as you know. Give me your assessment of Bill White's term in office, and how would you like to see the next mayor be like him or not like him?
I think that Bill White did a good job promoting the city, managing the affairs of the city as far as projecting Houston's image across the nation and across the world and as an international city. I've not been shy in saying, as I just said to you a little while ago, I don't think we did as much for the infrastructure of the city during Mayor White's term. I think that's a common refrain that I hear from contractors, and I suppose maybe contractors never think you're doing enough for infrastructure, but other people who travel about the city, and I think that we need to pick up on that. Infrastructure, I think, is going to be one of the key challenges for this next mayor, as well as how we come out of it and how we deal with this financial crisis that we're looking at.
Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in the election?
I've got to deal with whomever is going to be in that chair, because I plan to be the representative from District G. So I will just say that I know them all. I feel like I have good relationships with them all. And I look forward to working with the one who wins for the betterment of District G and the city as a whole.
When people go to vote this November and they come to the District G race, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
I think they should vote for me because of what I have done. I have represented basically, as I said, the same area. I've helped a lot of young people with educational opportunities while on the board at HCC. I've cut the tax rate for the citizens that live in the area. I've been responsive to the actions, requests that have been made to me from citizens in the area. And as chair of our legislative committee over the last couple of years, I worked very closely with legislators all the way from the local level to the federal level. I've gone to Austin, I've gone to Washington, on behalf of HCC and thereby on behalf of the citizens of the district. So I would just simply say, you're looking at a guy who's already working for you, already working for the district, making sure that the best is to come in the future for the citizens, and that's what I will continue to do.
All right, Mills Worsham, thank you very much for talking to me today.
I appreciate it.